This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says he's ready to negotiate with everyone involved regarding Ukraine. Do you believe him? U.S. flight cancellations continue, and what a horrible, horrible couple of days for the people in Erie County, New York. At least 25 people dead with a horrible winter storm. Hey, everybody, I hope you're getting to still celebrate the holidays with your loved ones, or even it's just yourself chillaxing, getting a chance to breathe and think about the past year and get ready for 2023. Kate Delaney here. It's been a crazy few days leading up to the winter storms. We talked about it, and sure enough, it definitely delivered, unfortunately. In some areas, a terrible, terrible blast. Buffalo was the worst. As I said, 25 people in Erie County died as a result of that massive storm, which just blasted them. The nationwide death toll is approaching 50. So Erie County, which is really the city of Buffalo, a lot of Buffalo and western New York, buried 43 inches of snow. So there are all kinds of vehicles, cars, trucks, whatever, stuck and power out for thousands of people over the Christmas holiday. You know, this is just a month after they were slammed with a pretty historic snowstorm. So a horrible, horrible situation there. They had a news conference in the morning, and they talked about the fact that 8 to 12 more inches of snow is expected to fall between Monday and Tuesday at 1 p.m. So that's not helpful as you're trying to clear, obviously, the streets and get into areas that haven't been plowed, and to make sure they get to people who obviously need help. So New York's weather-related fatalities were in Erie County. People died of exposure or cardiac events while shoveling snow, blowing snow, that kind of thing. That's what the county's medical examiner has said. It's being compared to the famous blizzard in 1977 that they had in Buffalo. But they say the current storm's ferocity was worse than the blizzard of 77. So hundreds of National Guards troops were deployed to help with the rescue effort. It was that bad. State police were involved. There was 500 rescues on Sunday. And they're still really in the middle of all of this. I mean, look, they had abandoned vehicles all over the place, so they have to pepper, they're peppering the cars and, like I said, the SUVs and whatever, the snow-covered roadways. So that also means it makes it difficult to get inside of those homes. And they're going to still see those cold temperatures, a high of 23 degrees expected in the daytime, a low of 21 at night. But it is warming up, thank goodness. Nationwide, 65,000 customers were without power on Monday. Some of that is starting to be restored, but, you know, you pick a place. You can look at Wisconsin. They had one fatality due to winter weather, but they had terrible weather to deal with. In Colorado, they had a couple of deaths because of the cold. One man was found near a power transformer of a building, possibly looking for warmth is what they think. And this is what, again, we expected was going to happen. And sure enough, it did. And the flight cancellations continued. More than 1,700 flights have been canceled out, you know, in the U.S. And so much of that happened because of this weather, obviously. And then the chaos ensues in Atlanta or Denver or Baltimore, one of the airports that are even hubs, were really tough to get out of. People were trying to get out even on Christmas Day. And there you had 3,100 plus flights canceled, and you had more than 6,800. I was looking at the numbers, more than 6,800 flight delays. So the mega blast of winter affected Americans in so many different ways. And hopefully, wherever you're listening to me, the situation has gotten better, because warmer weather is now coming on the backside, thank goodness, of all of this. I already said at the top, I think really the big story, and we would be talking about this, and we'll be talking about this a lot, heading into the next couple of weeks for sure. We'll see if anything becomes of this, but Vladimir Putin saying that he is ready to negotiate. And as I said, do you believe that that's going to happen? He had a state-run address where he said he was willing to negotiate about acceptable solutions and said, I don't think it's so dangerous. I think we are moving in the right direction, protecting our national interests and the interests of our citizens, our people. We simply have no other choice but to protect our citizens. We're ready to negotiate with everyone involved in the process. This is his words about acceptable solutions. He kept using the word acceptable solutions, but it's up to us. It's not us who is refusing to negotiate with them. And I mean, there is obviously the clue as to what is being done here, especially when you talk about state-run media, and that's where they're putting out what I would call propaganda. But, you know, who knows? Maybe there is some way heading into 2023 we can see something happen here, some sort of solution. It just is very, really one-sided in this case. But his remarks come as Russia continues. That's why it's offensive against Ukraine. You know, on Sunday there were more, you know, three more rockets, and an industrial area was hit, but luckily there was no casualties. So that's the good news there. And that's what's been happening in our world. I hope you had a great Christmas and you're not taking a bunch of stuff back. But I know that that's what some people do in the next couple of days, and then we get ready for 2023, and we've been doing that by looking back at some of the big stories over this past year. I also want to take a minute to say something about Kathy Whitworth. She's the winningest golfer in history. Had so much respect for men and women in the great game of golf. I had the great fortune to have a chance to interview her, spend some time with her, and get to know her a little bit. Just a great, great lady. In 1981, think about how long ago that was, she became the first LPGA golfer to earn $1 million in career earnings. And she really championed the game certainly for young women, but also for guys as well. And like I said, a lot of people had a great respect for her. And she is considered one of the greatest golfers of all times. 88 wins on tour, 6 major championships. And her 88 wins are more than Sam Snead and Tiger Woods, who hold the record, of course, in the men's game. So rip to Kathy Whitworth, who died at the age of 83, suddenly on Saturday while celebrating Christmas Eve with family and friends. All right, coming up on this show, some of the really interesting interviews we had over this past year, including one with the prolific writer Jason Reed, sports writer who I've read my whole life. He did a book about black quarterbacks and talked about the rise of the black quarterbacks and what we're seeing. And Jalen Hurts is a great example of that. He talks about not knowing what's going to happen with Hurts, but we see how well he's doing with the Eagles and what will his career ultimately yield. But there were some misses over time, and he talks about that. And it's just really, really interesting to talk to Jason. Then, have you ever thought about this question? What would you do with your last 24 hours? Wow, 24 hours just seems like nothing, right? It just goes by in a blink. Scott Kaufman talks about that. And David Hamill talks about bombings between Oklahoma City and Boston and what does it mean as far as he's concerned with time and the movement of time and being a runner. So coming up, Jason Reed, hang with us.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today. His book is incredible, Rising Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. I'm a big fan of his. When I started my career just outside of L.A., I read his stuff on the Dodgers at the Los Angeles Times. And then when he was with the Washington Post, he covered the then Redskins, which are now the Commanders. And you can catch his stuff on ESPN Now. He's the senior NFL writer and Scape, and of course he's been with ESPN, and you see him all over the place, and this book is really incredible. I read it from cover to cover. I learned some things I didn't know, and you're going to learn some amazing things too. So Jason, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Dak Prescott, there's a slew of quarterbacks. I'm from Philly, so I can't help it. I'm high on Jalen Hurts. I mean, I know it's really at the beginning of his career, so to speak, with the pros, but we saw what he did in college. It's a different story with the black quarterbacks now. Do you think they're getting, the black quarterbacks are getting the recognition they deserve?
Yeah, you know, I like to tell people now that there has never been a better time to be a black man who plays quarterback or aspires to play quarterback in the NFL. These guys are beloved by fans. They have the biggest contracts. Their platforms are enormous because of their success. And, you know, this has really been a journey more than 100 years in the making, because black quarterbacks or black men who aspire to play quarterback in professional sports, most successful league and professional sports, you know, most powerful league, were largely prohibited from doing it for most of the league's history. It really is a recent development. And by recent, I mean the mid to late 80s was when we really start to see black quarterbacks becoming okay, a part of the game, not considered an oddity or an outlier, that they really were, okay, people who were in the fabric of the NFL. So, yeah, a lot has changed, and we're at a point right now where, you know, in another 5 to 10 years, it would not be shocking if you saw as many as 12 to 16 superstar black quarterbacks. And by that, I mean, when you look at the college game now, you look at the traditional college powers, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the USCs, all led by star black quarterbacks. You know, I'm a sports writer, and when I started my career, I was covering high school recruiting, and you would go to these elite high school recruiting camps with the quarterbacks, and you'd never see black faces. Now there are superstar 4- and 5-star recruits who are black quarterbacks all over the place. So we are in the era of the black quarterback now, and the pipeline from youth football to high school football to college football, it's just going to continue to flow to the NFL. And, you know, it really is something that when you talk about the evolution of the country, you know, in terms of many issues, you can see it in the NFL with the rise of the black quarterback.
And this is an obvious question, but why did it take so long for black quarterbacks to be accepted?
You know, I've talked so much about this in my discussions about the book, and I try not to oversimplify it, but it really just comes down to racism. I mean, black men in the NFL, not just in the NFL, I mean, in America, were not considered to be smart enough, leaders, people who could inspire others. And by others, I mean, other, you know, white people. So, you know, if you look at that, if that's the way black men were looked at in society, clearly sports are just a, you know, microcosm of society. So that's the way they were going to be looked at in the NFL. And for decades, black players were not allowed to play the so-called thinking man's positions, center on the offensive line, because the center has to make line adjustments, middle linebacker on the defense, middle linebacker is a quarterback of the defense, or safety. The safety is a quarterback of the secondary. So if black players were not allowed to play those positions, clearly they wouldn't be allowed to play the ultimate thinking man's position, which is quarterback. So, you know, it really wasn't until these owners started to see that, okay, well, the game has gotten so big now that quarterback is truly the most important position. You can't overlook anyone at that position if you want to try to win. And it was really a matter of self-preservation for general managers and coaches, because once the game exploded, and, you know, when we get, you know, people forget that Major League Baseball really dwarfed the NFL for much of the previous century. But once you start getting into the 80s and the Super Bowl became this thing that occupied like all of America and the pageantry around it and the spectacle around it and these teams like, you know, the Bears and the 49ers and the Giants, like once the NFL going into the 80s really started to overtake Major League Baseball and the money got so big, these general managers and owners could not afford to just say, well, we're not going to take this quarterback because he's black. Because if you pass over somebody who can help you win and you lose your job, you're going to be like, I wish we'd have looked at that guy. So that's really the change that occurred.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jason Reed, and the book is Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. I think that is such a big part of the title of this book. If you would, because we want people to go and get it, let's whet their appetite a little bit. Tell us a couple stories in the book.
You know, well, one story, a great one, is about Warren Moon, the only black quarterback enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, I suspect that's going to change in the years to come, but right now he's the only one in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, Warren Moon, he wasn't drafted into the NFL when he came out of, and it's so crazy when you think about it now. He was the what is now the Pacific 12 Conference. Back then it was called the Pac-8 Conference. He was the Pac-8 Conference co-player of the year, and he helped Washington win the Rose Bowl, the University of Washington, and he doesn't get drafted. I mean, that would never happen out of a major conference today, but he has to go to Canada, continue his career, goes to Canada, lights it up, wins championships, sets records passing. The then Houston Oilers win a bidding war to get Warren to come down from Canada. And after a transition period, he had a rough, first year, in making that transition, but after that transition, he lights it up. He becomes a perennial Pro Bowler. He sets, records. He gets into the Hall of Fame. And it's just so interesting how history might have been different, because the Dallas Cowboys, the lead scout of the Dallas Cowboys in their draft meeting, that 1978 draft, said, hey, this guy is a guy we should draft. But black men were not being drafted to play quarterback in the NFL in the late 60s and even to the late 70s. So, or at least not in high numbers in the late 70s. And Warren Moon got passed over. How might history have been different if Warren Moon had gone to Dallas and was the quarterback after Roger Staubach instead of Danny White? I mean, Dallas fans may want to think about that. Another story I would say, contemporary one, Patrick Mahomes. Just the clout he wields and how he uses his power to push the NFL to do things that he thinks it needs to do in terms of social justice issues. And, you know, he's very big in voting rights. And, you know, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, so many quarterbacks, he stands on the shoulders of so many quarterbacks before him who did not have the power to affect change. And the fact that he does, and the fact that he uses that power without, you know, concern about what it might do to his brand and people who might get upset about it, it says a lot about the rise of the black quarterback.
Yeah. And now finally moving from quarterback to, we see what's happening in the NFL, coaches, underrepresentation, obviously same thing in the GM ranks and front office ranks. And we see the Brian Flores lawsuit. What do you think it'll take for that to change?
Well, you know, I think people are just going to have to keep pushing. People internally in the NFL who believe that diversity and inclusion are good things from a business standpoint, those people have to keep pushing. Civil rights advocates on the externally, they have to keep pushing. Because, you know, clearly the hiring front is the next big front. It used to be that the biggest frontier in the NFL for black men was quarterback, getting to play the quarterback position. Now the frontier that has to be conquered and tamed, so to speak, is hiring at the executive level, in football operations and business operations, and on-field hiring with coaching in terms of head coaches. So I think that, you know, what we need to see is what we're seeing right now, but just in an ongoing basis, people continuing to push because this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. For you, last question, what was it like writing this book? Because I've said I'm a big fan. I've followed your career. You get sports. You've covered it for sports for a long time. I can imagine 70, 75 interviews, lots of conversations. So it might have been quite an undertaking. Was it fun?
It was funny. You know, it's so funny you mentioned the number. It was over 70 interviews, and it was done over about an 18-month period, researching, reporting, you know, writing. I've been a sports writer my whole career, you know, a beat writer and a columnist, and I always wanted to write a book, but from a timing standpoint, you know, then life gets in the way, you know, you get married, you have kids and a lot of things. But bottom line was, this is a book I had a lot of passion about. I was given time to write it, to report it and write it in a way that I felt would do the subject matter justice. And I'm very proud of it. And I hope people will come to the book with an open mind and leave with maybe a new perspective on something that they thought they knew everything that there was to know about it.
Well said. Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Jason Reed, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
USA News Update. Unwanted gift returns seems to be a tradition around this time of year. Jeremy Scott has more.
Perhaps you didn't like it, or you'd prefer store credit to spend on something else. Either way, retailers will no doubt be busy this week accepting returns. If you want to feel less stress in the process, the Better Business Bureau has some recommendations.
You need to contact the store to see what their policies are in terms of returning items, whether you have to do it online, offline, or how quickly you have to do it.
Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau tells WGN, a receipt is important as many stores will not refund your money without one. It's also advised that you ask about a restocking fee, which can be up to 25%, and don't go to the store during peak hours to save yourself the headache of waiting in line. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Embattled New York Congressman-elect George Santos is admitting that he lied about his education, work experience, and family history after allegations of falsifying his campaign resume. I'm Lou Flores, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Scott Kaufman is in our virtual green room. His book is If Tomorrow Never Comes, What Would You Do With Your Last 24 Hours? Love, love, love the whole idea of this book, the title, all of it. It's things that we talk about on the show all the time. Scott, thanks for hopping on.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
What was the motivation for writing this book?
A lost life, meaning my own. It's one of those things where you discover what your destiny is, and my destiny was to write about destiny and to help people kind of figure out, if maybe for the first time in their life, why they're here. We're not on this planet just for the free popcorn. There's something that we're supposed to accomplish. Let's figure it out. And sadly, so many people never, ever do it. And so the premise behind the book is to say, hey, I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to tell you, you only have a limited amount of time left. What are you going to do? Well, the average person says, I'm going to quit this job that I've hated for 20 years, and I'm going to finally do that one thing that I always wanted to do. And I said, you know, you're probably like 99% of the population who do the same thing. But here's my question. If you do it because you only have 24 hours left, why not do it now when you have an undetermined amount of 24 hours? So the motivation was get people to realize, folks, you have a passion that was placed in you at the time of your creation. And there's a reason you have that passion, to be able to walk in your destiny. And too many people miss it. I have the bills to pay, the mortgage, the tuition, this and that, and they get stuck in something that is not what they were meant to be stuck into.
Yeah, so well said. So tell us more about the book specifically and what you talk about. Give us some of the secrets in it. Not everything, because we want people to get your book, but tell us some about the book.
Well, the secret is to, number one, discover that first and foremost that we are spiritual beings. We happen to inhabit a mortal body, but we're spiritual beings. And until you get in touch with that side, you're going to be spinning your wheels your entire life. And there's so much more to life than what has been portrayed to us since the day that we were born. We've been conditioned to believe this, that, and the other thing, when in actuality, you have a passion inside you because it's what you were designed to do. And so what the book is designed to do is to take you from chapter 1, and if you want to go to chapter 16, go to chapter 16. It gives you something to think about every single day. Now, chapter 2 isn't predicated upon chapter 1, and chapter 3 isn't predicated upon chapter 2 and chapter 1. No, no. Read whatever you want. Let it speak to you. But it's written in a way so it's just more conversational, and you get to feel like, hey, we're having a cup of coffee over the table. What can I answer for you? What are some of the questions that you have about why you're here on this planet in this moment doing what you're doing right now?
So if people answer those questions, you think they'll get closer to their destiny?
Well, you know, the question that I get asked all the time is, have I fulfilled my destiny? And my response is always the same, no. And they look at me shocked. I said, folks, listen. When you have fulfilled that which you were called to do here, you will then take your last breath and go on to your next existence. Okay? Until then, there's still something for you to do. But yes, I mean, every time you achieve a goal, every time you go after a dream, it's getting you one step closer to that thing that you were supposed to do when you were brought here. And so, are you going to get there when you're young? Maybe, if you're lucky. But maybe you don't reach that time until you're 65 years old. See, time is an illusion that man created, not what the universe created. So if you believe in the perfection of the universe, the perfection of your design, then you've got to also believe that you will be able to achieve what you were sent here to achieve. Not a moment before, not a moment after. And so, you know, go after what you love. I mean, why are you beating yourself up by doing something that you absolutely hate every day when you have the opportunity to do what you truly love to do?
And do you think part of that is because people get stuck and then other people, it's kind of like that crab theory, other people tell you not to go after the big dream, not to come up with whatever it is that you're throwing out there that they think is impossible, just stay safe and keep plugging along and doing the thing that you don't really like doing because at least you're getting money and you're paying the bills?
Absolutely. If your passion is to be a professional bungee jumper, and you tell your family you want to be a professional bungee jumper, here's the first thing. Oh, you're nuts. You're crazy. You can't make any money at that. Okay. So now you've had your dream squashed by somebody, albeit maybe well-intentioned people, but it's been squashed. So now you bury that dream. And you walk around and you do whatever it is you're supposed to be doing in life, right? And two, three years later, this dream pops up again. And you say it to somebody else, and they give you the same thing. Oh, you can't do that. You can't make any money. It's not. It's stupid. It's stupid. And you squash that dream. Well, that dream's going to continue to come up until you finally do something with it. So you can have all the accoutrements of success. You can have the big house, the fancy car, tons of money. But if you're not doing that one thing that you were born to do, there will be a void in your life. And that void is not going to be filled by need of a bigger house or fancier car or more money. So we get taught as kids, oh, you can't do that. You can't be this. You can't be that. Whatever. And we get conditioned to believe that we have to fill the status quo. Well, maybe you don't fit the status quo because maybe your dreams and your aspirations and your desires and your passions are opposite of what somebody else might do. May not be right for them, but it is right for you. Go after it.
I love that. Go after it. And you know what the other question is people are going to say? By the way, you can get Scott's book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, If Tomorrow Never Comes, What Would You Do With Your Last 24 Hours? What people will come back and say is, well, I don't know. I mean, how do I find that out? I'm confused. I don't know what it is. You know, you hear that a lot. You know, there was a book, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, What Color's Your Parachute? And people went through all these things trying to figure it out. And sometimes people feel pressured that they can't figure out what they're supposed to do. What do you say to that? How do you address that in the book with your questions?
Because people get in their own way. People have been conditioned to believe certain things throughout their life, okay? Can't do this, can't do that, shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. And so if you're conditioned, like just like Pavlov's dog was conditioned to do a certain thing to get a reward. Well, we're conditioned as human beings to do certain things to get a quote-unquote reward. Whether that's right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. The fact remains is that there's something inside you that you know you want to try. And you have to be brave enough to step outside the box of what we've been placed in and say, I am going to try it. Because the bottom line is the minute you start heading toward that direction, then things will change in your life. Because you're no longer cemented in what is expected to be done. You've now broken that mold out so that you can walk free into a specific area. Now, you may be lucky, as I said earlier, you may find out when you're very, very young. But you may be midlife. You may be toward the latter part of your life. It doesn't matter. But you have dreams inside of you for a reason. See, God didn't place dreams inside you just to play with you and say, oh, I'm gonna dabble that carrot in front of your mouth and I'm gonna take it away just so I can laugh at you. That's not how it works. There's dreams and passions inside because it's what you're supposed to be doing. And how much better to be following your passion than to follow what somebody else says that you should be doing with the rest of your life. And that's really what the book says. Folks, go after what's inside you. You cannot fabricate something that's not truth, that's in your heart. Your heart cannot lie to you. Now, your mind can. Your mind can tell you why you can't do this and can't do that and why you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. But your heart's incapable of lying. Follow your heart. Your heart is your spirit, is your soul. And that's what's going to tell you the direction that you're supposed to go into.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So do you feel like, and especially I can hear it in your voice and what you've written, do you feel like you're doing that now?
Well, I believe that I am, but I've only just scratched the surface of what I really want to accomplish with this. I mean, let's face it. If you took the total population of the world, how many people do you think are actually doing what they were born to do? I would say, at one point when I first started this journey, I'd say maybe 10%. Then I start looking at it, and I start seeing people's faces, and I start seeing how they operate every day, and that 10% went to 5,
yeah.
And it quickly went to 2, and now it's down to about a half of a percent. Why? Because people have not been exposed to the reality of what life is all about. I mean, they've been exposed to what they believe is reality. But in actuality, what's real is what's inside of you. And until you grasp that significance, until you grasp the significance of your being, of you being here right now, you can't walk in your destiny. You simply can't do it because everything else is fake, phony, and false.
Yeah, I agree. Fake, phony, and false. So you've said it throughout this. What do you hope people walk away with when they read the book?
A new hope. And that may sound corny, but a new hope, an encouragement, a realization that they aren't crazy. You know, a lot of times you'll have these dreams and you think, oh, that's just nuts. I really can't do that. But if you really realize that you can and you should be doing that, and you walk away with a, wow, I can achieve what I want to achieve. Now, through the process, your focus may change. Your drive may change. You know, a lot of people, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be the top of the corporate ladder, right? Well, you get there and you find out that riches and top of the corporate ladder is still not going to fulfill that void that's in your life because that's not what you were born to do. And so as you discover what it is that you were born to do, and it may take you a while because as you need to learn to crawl before you walk, before you run.
Right.
And so as you start learning where your life is headed, and doors open up, and that knowledge comes to you about, okay, now I see why I went through this when I was 10. Oh, now I see why this happened when I was 30. Oh, now I see why I learned this and learned that. Because now all of a sudden, the pieces of those puzzles are coming together, and now you have a complete picture, the whole panorama of why you were put here in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect place to end this. If tomorrow never comes, what would you do with your last 24 hours, Scott Kaufman? Get that book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
What does it mean? What can you do? Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Boston to Oklahoma, New York City, Beyond the Bombings. What an intriguing title. David Hamill, the author, joins us. David, what made you decide to go in this direction? What was the motivation to writing for you to writing this book?
Well, it started out to be a normal marathon training run turned into something that grew much bigger than I would have ever imagined. Just got back, took off my shoes, turned on TV to catch the Boston Marathon. I'm from Massachusetts, so it's near and dear on Patriots Day, a holiday, our national independence and all that from Lexington and Concord. But lo and behold, an explosion would happen. And the first thing that you saw the visions were was the race clock. And that race clock time of the first explosion was 4:09. And that was my hey you moment. It brought me back to my first marathon, which was a 4:09 also. You never forget your first. So that was the beginning.
Wow, so it made you, you know, and remember, that was terrible, of course, what happened, what the tragic death, and you talk about it, of an eight-year-old boy near the finish line, then you mix in Oklahoma and, you know, what happened there. So how did you pull it together? If somebody reads the book, what can they expect? How did you write this?
It's a personal story, so it just takes you to a journey. From the time of the bombing that set me on this course, of course, three died, 16 had lost limbs, and 260 were killed in that bombing. It's second one that went off that had killed an eight-year-old boy was another portion that brought me back to Oklahoma City, because that bombing happened in April of 1995. So 168 people were killed in that one, 15 of 25 babies in the daycare center. So it got real personal real quick, and I realized I had some issues to go back and revisit to try to get ahead of this here. And one way to do that was try to get into the Boston Marathon in 2014 to take it back. Boston strong year, let's beat the terrorists and go from there.
And so you did do that.
Yeah, lo and behold, I got in on a team. Someone had dropped, you know, timing, everything being what it was. I did go back to run that year. Everybody was really stoked. And so we were able to take it back. The Red Sox had won that year, that earlier that year. So all these indicators were there, and we thought that, hey, we beat these guys. And the our freedoms and the way we remember Patriots Day, we reclaimed that.
So it's interesting, in your running, you know, you, I think somewhere I was reading in the book that you were averaging like 440 or something, your marathon times, right?
Yeah, at that time, I was estimating had I run that race, I'd been about 3 miles behind the first explosion. So I couldn't imagine if, you know, the timing being what it was and I'd been there, all the chaos and the things that would have happened. But I wasn't there that year, but I went back to relive it and put this behind us and win.
Yeah. You know, you talk about Boston and you mentioned it, Oklahoma, and what happened at the federal building in downtown Oklahoma, the explosion that took off the building's entire, what was it, north wall, and what, you know, the sadness and what happened, the death toll so high, and the, so many of the children that were in the book. And doing that, is it the analogy, the time analogy is also wrapped into this?
Yeah, it's just phenomenal at the timings and the analogies to all that, because when the second explosion at Boston happened after 409, eight-year-old boy was killed, and that brought me back to Oklahoma City. Because at the time, my wife and I were there for fertility treatments. So the timing back then was not good. We were not successful in our attempts. 9:02 a.m. was something I just couldn't get out of. And then fast forward to September 11th when the second plane hit the tower. I think everybody remembers where they were at when that happened. But that time of the initial impact was 9:02:59. And I just seemed to be stuck there for many years. Two bombings in Boston, well, two attacks in New York City. And so that was another resonating thing to say, I need to go back to Oklahoma City and try to wrestle with these issues there.
What do you hope people take away from reading your book? What do you hope the takeaway is?
Well, it's a fantastic journey. A lot of it's about letting go. I did go back to Oklahoma City and run the Memorial Marathon they had there, which was great. If you have the chance to see the memorial, it's a fantastic place.
Mm.
At 902, where the Murrah Building was, is now a reflecting pool. There's 168 chairs that are set up that are lit up at night. But each end of that reflecting pool at 902 are the gates of time, 901 and 903. And I had to figure a way to get to 903. So when I come across the finish line in Oklahoma City, I kept running. I got to the 901 gate, paused at 902, and said, you know what, I got to get through 903. And then when I did, it was a big let-go moment, and just kind of put all these heartbreak behind and press on with life again.
Yeah. Well, I think there is absolutely something to that. There's no question talking about your life and being at, for, you know, there for these fertility treatments at a nearby center at the time, as you said, with the Oklahoma City bombing, and then being so being from Massachusetts and then running a year later and what happened at the Boston Marathon, and then of course 9/11. It is one of those chilling things that I don't think we forget where we are. So this was an interesting book. Will you write another book?
Yeah, ironically, after this, people are asking, well, what's your marathon story? This is basically 409 was the basically two or three events wrapped up with running, but then it went on, and I was asked, well, what would consider an accomplished runner? I said, well, if you, and a marathon is 26.2 miles, so that's a good little haul there, but I thought that if you could do 100 marathons, do one in all 50 states, and run in the Boston Marathon, that would be a trifecta of accomplishment. So that's what led to the second book, Trifecta, 26 plus years, 26.2, The Chronicles of a Marathoner. And so I cover how I started running and why, but it gets into the whys and it covers the journey, bringing you right up to the recent Boston Marathon at 21. I was able to go back again. And that's a whole story there, too.
Wow. So 21, how fast did you do in 21?
Oh, geez, it was 6:20, 6:30, I think it was. So my times are drastically have slipped off, 6 hours and 30 minutes, I guess. So, but my personal record back in my early day was a 3:25:19, which a sub-8 back in my early days.
Wow.
Still moving, but much slower. I've finished 131 marathons. I have done all 50 states. And so I'm kind of getting into the writing prose now that Trifecta has been out. And I'm about to release the third book, basically, my Cold War life, Three Decades of Silent Battle. And that covers my Cold War story, growing up in the 60s and serving in the Air Force in the 80s and 90s. So more to come.
Wow, what an interesting life you have led, David Hamill. I love it. 131 marathons, 50 states. That's incredible. And by the way, I think 6 hours and anything is good. That is still a solid time if you're talking about 21, what you ran. So congratulations on all of that and on this thought-provoking book, 409 to 902, Boston to Oklahoma, New York City's Beyond the Bombings. David Hamill, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Kate. Sure, appreciate it.
Wow, that's incredible to think. I'm still thinking, first of all, how he did time and that he happened to be there, Oklahoma City, and then, wow, jaw-dropping when he sees what happened at the marathon, and then thinking of course, where were you on 9/11 and pulling that all together, and then just kind of processing the 131 marathons that he talked about in his next book, the 50 states doing that. I mean, that is the trifecta. That's wild that he was able to do that. And then, of course, his service, and that's the next thing coming up for him. Like I said, it's very, very intriguing, and especially because those moments in time and how that time had that impact on him and really on all of us. It's like what he said, the hey, you moment. And just how awful. I can remember choking back tears or probably just letting them fly when that 8-year-old boy near the finish line was killed, because I had so many friends in Boston, including one that came on the show that ran in that marathon but was behind. Like he said, how he would have been behind that first bombing. Same thing, you know, the first explosion. The same thing for him, so it really had an impact. And I think all of those have had an impact on our lives without question. So again, the book is 409-902, Boston to Oklahoma, New York City's Beyond the Bombings, David Hamill. Thanks to him for the conversation and to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.